Hello, and welcome to the Facility Executive Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and innovations in facility design, operation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Jennifer Goetz, the Editorial Director of Facility Executive, and today I'm joined by Brian Norris, Director of Global Real Estate for Honeywell, and today we will be discussing Honeywell's HQ. So, Brian, tell us about Honeywell's HQ in North Carolina. How big is this building, and what would you say are some of its coolest features?
Hey, Jen. Yeah, just want to start saying thanks for having me. Really excited to be here. You know, the headquarters is a brand new building. We started design in August of 2019, put shovels in the ground, and opened on August 31st of 2021. So we are literally brand new, just over a year old now. The building's about 330,000 square feet. It's 23 stories tall. The first 14 floors are parking, so our parking structure goes vertical, not into the ground. And then floors 14 through 23 are dedicated to Honeywell space for our users, for our customers, and for just collaboration. It's an impressive building. We have over 34 huddle rooms, 13 large conference rooms, 12 medium conference, 28 collaboration, war rooms, auditoriums, fitness center, a bar on the 23rd floor for coffee and drinks after hours, a wellness center that's fully staffed by a doctor and a nurse full time. And just a state-of-the-art technology deployment as well. So it is, as we say, the smartest building in the world.
That's awesome. And one of the latest things I've heard about Honeywell's HQ is that you recently achieved a LEED Gold certification. So what does this LEED Gold certification mean for Honeywell? What has the U.S. Green Buildings Council seen in this building to bestow the LEED Gold distinction?
Yeah, so our LEED Gold certification is very important to us. We have LEED Gold certification on both the shell and core, so the exterior of the building and the interior itself, which is not always common. We're very proud of that. And the other thing that we're very proud of is that we did not buy any LEED credits. All of the credits that we got were earned through sustainability efforts, through technology, through green materials, and that's not common in projects today, especially during COVID with the supply chain issues that existed and all the things that come with trying to design a 23-story building during COVID. So our LEED certification is important because it's the first of our kind within Honeywell. Honeywell doesn't often stand up 23-story buildings. That is not the business that we are in. But we wanted to make sure that our commitment to the building was also our commitment to sustainability overall. And that's why the gold certification is so important. We're really proud of it because sometimes it is very difficult to achieve that certification without having purchase points, and you have to make decisions that may impact the experience for your users. But what we wanted to do is create an environment that was both sustainable and a positive experience for our employees. So a lot of the ways that we did that are through Honeywell technology. You know, to kind of go back to your first question around some of its coolest features, there's 22 different technologies in that building. Some of those are Honeywell products like Honeywell ProWatch and Honeywell Forge, and others are collaboration projects or partners of Honeywell that we work with, like Insignia and Designa that do parking and facial recognition. And a lot of that technology actually contributed to our LEED certification. For example, Honeywell Forge is a product that is an energy optimization tool that we use that is a software that overlays into the building management system that operates your HVAC, heating and cooling, each day. And through that energy optimization tool, we can actually use occupancy data to change our HVAC flow. Honeywell is currently in a 3-2 policy, which means we're in office 3 days a week and remote 2 days per week, which means my occupancy is lower than it was pre-COVID. And theoretically, if I can turn off anywhere from, let's say, 40 to 60% of my assets in a given day, through the energy optimization tool that is Honeywell Forge, I can generate a significant savings story for Honeywell. And like I said, this is a 330,000 square foot building. So that's a story in itself. But if I can scale that opportunity across the 27 million square feet that we manage within North and South America, that's a real story that talks about sustainability, our commitment to carbon neutrality, and you know, our overall goal to be as sustainable a company as possible.
Awesome. So what advice might you have for facility managers and executives that are kind of looking to achieve their own LEED certifications? And especially if you could talk a little bit more about your experience, what it was like achieving the LEED Gold.
Yeah, I mean, my main comment would be don't be afraid to take risks. LEED certification exists because it's an important thing for buildings and for us as a as an organization and beyond that is important for just the world's commitment to sustainability overall. So to go get LEED certification at any level is a challenge. And it's something that takes work and it takes time and it takes resources and typically takes investment. And to do all those things, you need to be able to be committed to that goal. So when you look at your LEED scorecard and you try to determine what points you can go after based on your design, make sure that the design is a part, or the LEED conversation is a part of that design conversation as well. I think that's so important. I think LEED often becomes kind of an afterthought of the process rather than, upfront in the design conversation. If you do that from the beginning, then the LEED becomes part of your story throughout and not something in the middle or at the end. And then it's easier to actually get that certification because you can design more effectively around it. So don't be afraid to take risks. Know your scorecard, know your opportunities, and then go get them. You have to be aggressive about it. And sometimes decisions can be made around LEED certification that may seem like a negative impact to users just because it may take away some of the things that, we are accustomed to in buildings, but you need to be able to spin that positively and create that positive environment because sustainability is far more important than having a heavier water flow in sinks. I know that seems like a small thing, but when you're in a 330,000 square foot building, water flow is very important. And if you're reducing your consumption there, that's an important value. So that would be my main comment around what facility managers can do to go achieve their LEED certification is be bold, trust what you're doing, and make sure that everyone understands why it's important. Every company, that we've talked to over the last several months has made some commitment to sustainability over the next 15 to 20 years. And, there's a lot of ways that you can go after that. The only true way is at the end of the day to close a building. And that's obviously not the goal or intent for any company. So how do you optimize the space that you're in, and how do you create space that is going to be sustainable and more green and use sustainable materials and reduce your waste? Those are all steps that need to be considered in every building in the country, and that's what Honeywell is doing in our portfolio right now.
Of course. So you mentioned that design is such an important aspect of kind of taking the first steps to achieving this LEED Gold certification and to kind of start as early as possible. Is that what you guys did for Honeywell HQ, kind of built it into the design?
We did. We knew from day one that this was going to be a LEED certified building. Our goals were as high as possible, platinum being the highest certification. There were a couple of things that were outside of our control that we weren't able to get to that platinum certification. But once we realized where we could land based on our scorecard and the commitments that we had made, we aggressively went after that in the design choices we made. And a lot of them can seem simple when you're looking at the scorecard, but creating environments that have smart lighting or using occupancy to turn down your HVAC consumption, or just using these tools, a lot of tools that Honeywell creates as a part of your technology story that also helps your sustainability story is obviously very important to Honeywell because that's, I'm trying to solve the same problems as my customers, which is an impactful story for them. We're all trying to solve the same thing. Honeywell just happens to be the company creating the products that help to do that.
Yeah, I imagine that's very helpful to just have the company already creating some of the products that you're looking for to help you achieve some of these goals. One other thing that you kind of mentioned was you really want to promote this mission and this goal to your occupants. And how did you promote this to your building occupants and the staff that you have in your headquarters?
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of the story of the headquarters. We wanted to make sure that everyone knew who Honeywell was and what it is that we do. Honeywell is a huge company, 110,000 employees around 21 countries in the world. We operate in five main verticals, and within those verticals, hundreds of different businesses and business units and things like that. So Honeywell is a vast group, but we do so many things so well, and we never really shared that story with our employees. I remember, I often make the joke when we have customer tours where I'll say, I know that everyone thinks that Honeywell just put thermostats in homes in the 60s, but we do much more. And I say that tongue in cheek, but I say it because the reality is, if you don't really look underneath the hood of Honeywell, you may not realize how involved we are in the sustainability commitment for the world. And our CFO in a speech last night actually around sustainability and our commitment there said, he suggests and encourages everyone to read our commitment to sustainability. It's about a 90-page document, but He has said it many times. If you find something in that document that you think Honeywell could be doing better, to call him directly, because it is a real commitment and it is from our leadership and it has worked its way into the execution level of Honeywell day in and day out. So it's real. A lot of groups can say we are working towards this and we do have these goals and these, the ability to get there, but to actually go do it is a whole other conversation. And Honeywell's at the front of it. It's fun to be the product creator, because what I get to do then is be customer zero of that product. And what I mean by that is, when Honeywell designs a new software that can help sustainability or energy optimization, I bring it into my portfolio. I bring it into my sites. I test it. I live with it. I, bring it back to the R&D, our research and development groups, and tell them, what works, what doesn't work, what will our customers think, what will the groups who are going to use this as the end user think, so that theoretically, when it gets to that group, we've already done all the hard work. Now the product's ready. It can deliver what you need to help your sustainability story. And that's a very fun place to be right now in Honeywell's growth.
Of course. I know that Honeywell has committed to carbon neutrality in its operations and facilities by 2035. So, in addition to this LEED certification, how else is Honeywell working to achieve this goal? I know that you're speaking specifically today more about the HQ, so maybe you can speak more specifically to that building and in what other ways, Honeywell's HQ specifically is working towards these goals.
Yeah, so the customer zero story is probably the best way to explain how we are working towards those goals. Honeywell, through research and development, creates new software and technologies that, we intend to be the sustainability story of the future and the technology that groups will use to get to that point. So for us to be able to showcase that in our headquarters location, for us to be able to use it, live with it, and then get to the goals that we've set for ourselves is obviously very important. And we're looking to do that beyond our headquarters as well. The headquarters is a brand new building. It is incredibly efficient. It has all of Honeywell's best technology to be efficient. But the rest of the Honeywell portfolio is vast. It's about 57 million square feet globally, that falls within the portfolio. And for us to really execute on our commitment to sustainability, we really need to bring that outside of Charlotte and beyond to the portfolio. And that's a tall order, but that's what everyone needs to do in order to get to these goals. So we're eating our own dog food, so to speak, a term I don't prefer, but it is what it is. And we really are using our own technology, and we're living by the philosophy that we our story is. We say that this is what we're doing, and we go do it internally. And I think that's probably the most impactful part of all of this is, it's one thing to say you're going to commit to something, but it's another to do. And my group and my team are the doers and the executors and the people who have to take these products and this software and bring it into the field, deploy it, manage it, and actually deliver on the energy optimization that delivers on your sustainability goal.
How long did this process take you?
So I think I can answer that in probably two parts. The Charlotte headquarters was a 2-year project, and I think the Charlotte headquarters is so unique because, like I said, we broke ground in August of 2019, and COVID was not a thing. We had no idea what was coming, and we thought to ourselves, well, what's important for talent retention? Provide free snacks, free coffee, put a fitness center in, put a coffee bar on the 23rd floor, common amenities that were very important 3 years ago. And then, of course, March of 2020, COVID begins and things dramatically changed. And then we said, okay, well, now what's important? The first thing we were told when COVID began was, if you go outside, wash your hands. Don't touch anything, right? So we said, well, how can we create a frictionless experience for our employees and guests so that they're able to get from their vehicle to their desk without having to touch a single surface? We've realized that goal. You can do that from our in our building using facial recognition technology. We also said, how can we create clean air? 5 years ago, I've been in facilities for a long time now, and 5 years ago, no one really was concerned with the indoor air quality score of a building. They were just concerned with, I'm too hot or I'm too cold. What we do really effectively is we measure multiple points of data that you would not know day to day could make your day better or worse. And by that, I mean we're measuring CO2, particulate matters 2, 5, and 10, humidity, total volatile organic compounds, TVOCs. All particulate matters in the air that, if they're not being addressed, may improve your day or make it worse. It can make a hot temperature feel worse. It can make a cooler temperature feel worse, depending on humidity levels. All of those qualities of air are things that we're addressing every single day in that building because we said, well, now how do we create a safe space for people to return to work, create clean air? So that building is a showcase of what Honeywell did prior to COVID and what it does so well now as everybody starts to return to work, which is something we're very proud of. So that's kind of the story in Charlotte. And then beyond that, this is a brand new building in Charlotte. I don't have that in the remainder of my portfolio. So it's how do you take existing infrastructure, take new technology, apply it into that infrastructure, and deliver on some of those opportunities. And you do that through products like Honeywell Forge. You do that through different processes like frictionless access, things that 3 years ago felt foreign now are the norm in most of our buildings as we continue to roll out in phases these different levels of technology.
Awesome. And I know I talked to you a little bit about how you promote what you're working on in this LEED certification, but in terms of the employee reactions to this new building, do you mind speaking a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been better than we could have expected. We had expectations that were very high, and like I said, we do call this the smartest building in the world, and we stand by that fact. But we've had over 25,000 Honeywell employees through our doors in the last year from all over the world come and visit. It's intended to be a collaborative space. The goal is for teams to be able to come back together post-COVID and come see our building. It's something we're obviously very proud of, so we like to have the foot traffic. We've had about 10,000 external guests come through the doors as well in the last year or so. 35,000 people in the last year have entered our headquarters location, and that's something we're extremely proud of. And the reason that we designed it the way that we did was so that when those people walk around, they can see what Honeywell is. On our 23rd floor is our Customer Experience Center, which is a self-driven showcase of Honeywell. And you can go around and everything's touchscreen and engageable and interactive. And you can just learn about Honeywell. And it's amazing to me how often I see employees bring their families into the building and showcase that. And I do it all the time. I have two young girls who love going there and just touching all the screens and just learning about Honeywell.
It's a lot
I
of
think
fun.
that it is, yeah, and the culture has changed so much in the last few years, and it is a lot of fun, and it creates an environment that I'm very proud of, and I think that Honeywell is proud of as well.
Of course, of course. And I think to kind of close out with all that you've achieved with the HQ, and I know you've talked about beyond this one building, is there any other plans in the works, to create more buildings similar to the HQ?
No building like the HQ. That is definitely a unique space, more unique than you may find it in most companies' portfolios. But the intent is to take a lot of the technology that we've put in the headquarters and bring it out into the field beyond Charlotte. I think that's probably the bigger and more important story for us is, we can design from the ground up very effectively the smartest building in the world for you or for us, but we can also come into existing portfolio and lay in these technologies and get you the same result. So I think that's probably more important right now as companies are beginning to optimize their space. During the COVID, 2 years of COVID, a lot of groups reduced their rooftops as a cost savings measure, and now it's about
Yeah.
optimizing those rooftops. We have the space that we need. It's the correct amount of space for our workforce, but how do we take advantage of every square inch, and how do we create environments that people want to come back to? How do we do that more effectively? I think that's where the focus is shifting. That's what Honeywell is focused on. That's what we hear our customers who come through the doors are very focused on. So no building like the headquarters will ever be built again is my statement, but we will definitely be doing fun things in a lot of locations across the world over the next year or two. And I'm very excited for people to see that as it rolls out. So
Yes, and I'm sure we'll be interested to learn more. Brian, thank you so much for speaking with me today. And thank you to our audience for listening. Please stay tuned for the next episode of the Facility Executive Podcast. Special thank you to Honeywell today for sponsoring this podcast, and I hope you have a great day.